Well, we're starting a brand new series today. And over the next 4 weeks, what we're doing is we're looking at the mind of the Apostle Paul. And what I love about Paul is that this was a man that mastered his thinking. And it wasn't because life as he got older got easier. In fact, as he got older, his life got more difficult. He was either writing from a prison cell awaiting a death sentence, or he was writing in the midst of incredible opposition. And so I want to share a passage with you today. In fact, if you've got your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and as you're turning there, let me just pray for us this morning, because I believe in many ways God is designing this to be kind of an anchor series and message for us, just that will move us forward in our walk with Jesus. So Father, we're grateful for your word, and that every time we open your word and we hear from your word, that it impacts us, because your scripture is alive and it's active. And so we ask for that powerful work to work in our lives today. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to do all that you want to do as we gather together to hear from your word. And we're grateful that you are powerfully working among us. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. 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 Let me just give you a little bit of context before we read 2 Corinthians 10. Paul was writing, of course, to the church in Corinth. And over the course of time, Paul had left this church that he had started. And over the course of time, false teachers had kind of infiltrated the church, and they began teaching a message that was essentially undermining the power and the freedom of the gospel with their bad teaching. And so Paul is writing this letter to the church for many reasons, but one of them is talking about the fact that every single one of us is in the middle of a war, whether you know it or not, that you right now are in the middle of a war. And Paul is teaching, using some of the most strong language possible, how critical it is for every single one of us to win this invisible war. And this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." It's not physical weapons. There's no fist fighting. We don't fight like the world does. Verse 4, it says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power." Somebody say divine power this morning. The word for power comes from the Greek word dunamis, and divine power could be translated divinely powerful, powerful to God. It could be translated mighty in God's sight. We get our word power from dynamite from the Greek word power. It's this explosive, miraculous power of God. And so Paul's telling us that the weapons that we have at our disposal that we fight with are heavenly. They have divine power to do what? To demolish strongholds. It's interesting when Paul says that we've got power to demolish strongholds. When he uses the word stronghold, it's the only time in the entire Greek New Testament that Paul uses this word. And anytime a word is only used once or twice, it gives a little bit more power and oomph to it. The word for stronghold, Paul is creating a picture of, you think of like a city with an incredibly high wall around it. Or you think about like a castle with walls around it. But Paul is telling the church here that these strongholds that we're supposed to demolish, they're not designed to keep you out. They're designed to keep you locked in. In fact, if you're taking notes, write this in, that a stronghold is a thought that holds you hostage. That a stronghold is a mindset that keeps you a prisoner. A stronghold is a thought pattern, a mental script that you rehearse in your head that keeps you locked in a prison. It's something that makes you believe that you are hopelessly locked in the middle of a situation with no way out and no power to change. It's when you hear people saying, "I can't, and I never will, and I'll never be able to. I can't, I can't, I can't." When the only reason that you say you can't when God has already said that you can is because you've given your spiritual enemy ground on which to build a stronghold. And these lies that we believe have become a prison that we've shaped our thinking one lie at a time. And so we're locked in this prison believing something that's simply not true. What does your enemy tell you? "You know you can't trust people, right?" Lie. "You can't let them know the real you, right?" That's a lie. "You know God doesn't really love you." That's a lie. "God doesn't care about you. If he did, he would have answered that prayer." Lie. God doesn't hear your prayers. You're never going to get over that. Your life is always going to be bad. You're always going to be hurting. You're always going to be stuck in a rut. You're always going to be stuck in this situation. You'll never be able to have real intimacy. All of these things are lies. Whatever it is the enemy does is he just lies and he lies and he lies. And this is what the Apostle Paul says that we're supposed to do. Verse 5, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Paul's saying anything that's not from God, that doesn't line up with the truth of God's word, we demolish it. It means we dismantle it. We destroy it. We take it down. Let me ask, why does this matter? Because the life that you have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. In fact, if you're taking notes, write this in, that your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. That the trajectory of your life is always moving in the direction of your thought pattern, your thinking process, your mental script. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And I would say if you want to change your life, then you've got to change your thinking. And if you change your thinking, it'll change your life. I love Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. It says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. As he thinks within himself, as he thinks and as he thinks and as he thinks, that's how it works out in his life. As you think, so you do. As you do, so you become. If you think that you can't and I can't and I can't, guess what? You probably never will. If you believe, though, I can do all things through Christ, and that's the thing that you're dwelling upon and thinking about, guess what? You probably will. If you believe that you're a victim, always the force, or you're always suffering at the hand of some outside force or circumstance, guess what? You're always going to be a victim. But if you believe that you are an overcomer through the power of Jesus Christ, and that's what you're thinking about, guess what? You are constantly, no matter what you face, going to be an overcomer. If you are always looking at the problems and thinking, oh, this always happens to me, all these bad things happen to me, and you're focused on the problems, guess what's going to happen? Your problems are going to overwhelm you. But if instead you're looking for solutions and you believe that God is your provider and you're holding on to his promises and his provision, you're going to see God at work in your life. What do we know about our thoughts? Now, for almost all of us, in almost every situation, most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. That our thoughts are the invisible war, and our mind is the battlefield. It's a battle between God's truth and what he says about you and your circumstances and the lies that the enemy sows into your life trying to get you to believe. It's always a battle between God's truth and the enemy's deception. What I want to do to kind of set up a foundation for the series is just to get us kind of thinking about what we think about. Just thinking over the last couple of days or the last week, what have you been thinking about? We're going to call this a thought audit. We're going to think about our thoughts, think about what we've been thinking about. I'm going to give you kind of some examples to see what we're thinking about. In fact, on your message notes, there's a couple of scales there. I'm wondering this morning, have you in this last couple days, last week, been more consumed by worry, or have you had more peaceful thoughts? Where have you been, more worried or more peaceful? I wonder how many of us, we came in this morning and we're tense. We've not been sleeping well. We're a little consumed by anxiety and we're thinking about our future. We're thinking about our kids. We're worried about our health. We're worried about finances. We're worried about our job. We're worried about some aspect of the future. You're worried and you're worried and you're stressed and your margins are being reduced and you're anxious and you're not sleeping well. How many of you are worried versus how many of you are peaceful? When you think and you lay down at night, you know that your God is a God who provides for you. And no matter what circumstance you stand up against, your God is going to be with you. How many of you, your thoughts have been characterized more by peace and more by worry or anxiety? How about this one? Have you had a more negative mindset or a more positive mindset this last week? Are you generally more negative, more critical about people? I can't believe she wore that. I can't believe I've got to work with these idiots. I can do my job better than my boss. Man, I should have his or her job. you more negative? Are you discontented? Do you find fault easily? Do you feel like life is always hard and you're stuck in a rut and it's never going to get better and you're just stuck in this? And or do you believe the best about people? Are you focused on the goodness of God and His promises that are at play in your life? Do you believe that God is with you and that He's for you and that He works all things, no matter whether it's good or bad, all for your good because you love Him? Are you generally more negative or are you more positive in your thinking process? Let me give you one more example. In your thinking, are you more my kingdom or are you more God's kingdom? Are you always thinking about how can I get ahead? How does this benefit me? What will I get out of this? What do I have? What do I want? Or are you thinking what will most advance the kingdom of God? How can I serve? How can I give? How can I contribute? What can I do? How can I advance the kingdom of God? Have your thoughts been more focused on yourself or more about what God wants to do through you? See, what you think about is so important because you're always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. In other words, what you believe shapes everything about your life. That no matter what you do, no matter what you have, no matter where you go or travel, no matter what you buy, no matter where you live, no matter all of these things, your life cannot move in a positive direction if you're consumed by negative thoughts. So your thoughts matter. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you excited about where your thoughts are taking you? Think about it. If your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, are you satisfied? Are you blessed? Are you content? Are you excited by the direction of your thoughts? Because I'll tell you, almost every battle that you will face in this life, whether it's a battle in your marriage that you're struggling with this thing, whether it's a battle in your finances, whether it's a battle in a relationship, whether it's a battle, all of these things are a direct result of the process of your thinking, your mindset, your joy, your lack of joy. All of these things are, so much of it is based off of what you're focused on, what you believe about yourself and your circumstance. And so let me set the foundation for the series. Just two quick thoughts if you're taking notes. Here's the first one, is that we have got to identify the number one lie that keeps you hostage. We've got to identify the number one lie, because what the enemy will do is he will find one lie that kind of is an umbrella for everything that will speak into your life. And he'll find that lie that's just suitable just for you, something that when he speaks it, it speaks to something core at your life, and he will develop this stronghold. You remember what a stronghold is? It's a mindset that holds you prisoner. It's a mindset, it's a thinking process that holds you hostage. And so what's the lie? What's the deception? What's your enemy been using to keep you from living the life that God has for you, the abundant life that God has for you? Maybe for you, it's just your personal self-talk. Every time you make a mistake, you would just hammer on yourself. Yeah, I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I did that. I always do this. Are you saying that to me, Joe? And for you, you've got this just negative script that everything in your life is just so negative. You think, man, I'm never going to be good enough. My past is too bad. I'm never going to be in a job that I love. I'm always going to be behind. I'm never going to have enough. That all my relationships, no matter how hard I try, they always fall apart. Nobody likes me. I can't keep friends. Maybe it's your personal self-talk and the enemy is just sowed a lie in there and you're just rehearsing that over and over and over. Maybe for you, it's not so much your negative self-talk about other people or about yourself, but it's about other people. And I can't trust people. I can't get close to anybody. After all, after what they did to me, you know, you can't trust anybody after all. You know, everybody walks out eventually. And you've got these things that have just been cycling through your head over and over. You may not even be aware of it. What's the number one lie or the stronghold that's holding you back? And I'll tell you, it's so important for us to identify, because what happens is whenever we have a thought, our brain is literally redesigning itself around that thought. That there's a changing chemical makeup every time you think a thought. If you think a positive thought or somebody says something positive to you, you get this nice little legal high from a drug called dopamine. It's just this little chemical drop. And it's like, ooh, I like that. Somebody says, you're looking good today. Like, I like that thought. Somebody likes your Instagram picture. Like, ooh, I was looking good, wasn't I? Hey, there's a little dopamine. You like that thought. But the opposite also works. You have a critical thought, and you think that thought, and because you think that thought, you think it more easily next time. And what's happening is scientists call this that you're creating new neural pathways in your brain, and your brain creates kind of like a little path. It's like if I walk across your grass in the same place every day, I'm going to create a little trail. It's the same thing. Every time you think a thought, it creates a little neural pathway there. And the more you think that thought, the more you're going to think that thought, the more you're going to get stuck in a rut of thinking that thought. And your thoughts, more than you think, is shaping the way that you live because you're stuck in a thought pattern. If you tell yourself over and over and over that I can't, that I won't, that I'll never have enough, over and over and over, you're creating a pathway in your brain where it's easier to think that thought than it is to think another thought. And your life is going to travel in that negative direction. Let me give you an example. If you're having a frustrating day at work, and you get stuck in traffic, and you come home, and you walk in the house, and the house is a mess, and the kids are running around, and in your mind, you're thinking, man, I just want to come home to a peaceful, clean house. And every time you come home, you think that you're creating a new neural pathway, and every time you think that, it creates an action in your life, and maybe you yell, maybe you remove yourself, maybe you have a bad attitude, and what happens is you think that thought and it leads to an action, and so every time you come home to that situation, every time there's chaos, your brain automatically thinks, when there's chaos, I yell. When there's chaos, I remove myself. When there's chaos, I distance myself. I get a bad attitude. And your thought pattern is literally shaping the direction of your life. But if you were to walk to your house and before you open the door, you say, you know what, I've been having a negative thought pattern about this. And I'm going to capture that thought. And before I walk in the door, I'm just going to pause for 10 seconds. I'm going to say, God, I thank you that you have blessed me with my family. Hey, there's a thought, huh? God, I thank you that you've enabled me to have children. Hey, there's a thought, isn't there? And you begin to change the way that you think about the situation. And because you change the way that you think, it changes the way that you live. You say, God, I thank you that you've blessed me with my family. And so when I walk in this door, God, I'm going to treat my family like they're a gift. And you go in and you hug your spouse and you play with your kids. It changes. You change the way you think and it changes the way that you live. Let me give you another example. If you don't feel good about yourself and there's a direct relationship between feeling bad about yourself and a path through the refrigerator where the ice cream is, you're going to change. You're going to think something about yourself. Hey, I don't feel good about myself. I'm going to go to the ice cream. Here's what you've got to do. You've got to identify the lie that you believe about yourself. They say, you know what, I realize that when I don't feel good about myself, I eat something unhealthy, and then that just compounds the unhealthy feeling. And so instead, I'm going to travel a different path. That I may not feel great, but every time I feel bad about myself, here's my script. When I feel bad about myself, I'm going to say, God, I thank you that you love me just the way that I am. Yeah, there's the truth, huh? You can grab a hold. That's in the Bible, huh? God, I thank you that you love me just the way that I am. And every time I feel bad about myself, I'm going to walk outside the house, just go out for a 5-minute walk and say, God, thank you that you love me the way that I am. God, I thank you that you've got a plan for my life. You've got a purpose for my life. And because you do that, you change your thinking. It's going to change your behavior. Yeah, powerful stuff. I'll tell you, though, it's not easy to travel this way. It's not as immediately gratifying as grabbing a tub of ice cream. But you're working towards creating a new and more healthy pathway that will lead you to a better, more fulfilling life. What we're doing in our growth groups this week, and if you're not in a growth group, you got to get in a growth group. Just put it on your Connect card, growth group. The thing that we're doing this week is that we're going to identify the stronghold that's been holding us back, the lie that the enemy has sowed in our life that we've been believing. Why are we doing this? Is because you cannot defeat what you cannot define. You can't beat what you can't label. You can't beat it if you don't know what it is. And so we're going to give it a name. This is a lie that the enemy has sown into my life that's kept me in prison. And so we're going to name it. We're going to attack it. We're going to identify the stronghold. Here's the second thing, if you're taking notes, is that we've got to name the truth that'll set you free. We're going to identify the lie. We're going to name the truth that'll set you free. Jesus said this in John chapter 8. He said, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will what? It will set you free." You know that the life that God has for you is a life of freedom, a life of abundance, a life of blessing. Romans 12:2 says this, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by what?" Let's say this out loud. By changing the way you think. Scientists would say you've got to rewire your brains. But God's word would say you need to renew your mind. That we're not going to travel the old, the unhealthy, the unhelpful paths. Instead, we're going to say, you know what? That's a lie that I've been believing about myself. That's a lie that I've been believing about the circumstance. It's a lie I've been believing about the season. But here is the truth that God says about me or this circumstance or this season. And this is the path that I'm going to follow. And I'll tell you, some of you came in here this morning and you have been locked in a prison. And the only lock on that door is a lie that the enemy has planted there. And you need to identify the truth, that there is a truth that will set you free. I want to look at our text again. What Paul said, 2 Corinthians 10. And this is the Apostle Paul. Now, this is a guy that had plenty of opportunities over the course of his life to struggle with his thoughts. But this is also a man that never surrendered to these lies. He continued to speak the truth and continued to press into the truth. And he said this. He says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And so we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive," listen, "we take it captive. We take these things captive. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." It's interesting, Paul is using this military language. When he says we take it captive, it means to literally take something prisoner by the tip of a sword or a spear. You got to think of an enemy. And you've got them conquered, and the tip of the spear is pressing into their neck. That's the imagery that Paul is talking about. You don't show these thoughts any mercy. These thoughts are your prisoners of war. You do whatever you want with them. You take them captive. You've got them held down. And Paul is, he's this master of imagery. In fact, in another place in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about the armor of God. And all of these things that we have to do battle against the forces of darkness. And you notice that as he lists these different pieces of armor, every single one of them is a defensive piece of armor. Think about it. The helmet is defensive. The breastplate of righteousness is defensive. The shield of faith is defensive. The belt of truth is defensive. But there is one offensive weapon that he gives us. And he says, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Here's what we do, is we capture every single thought and we teach it what the Word of God says about ourselves, about our season, about our situation, that this is the lie that I've been believing, but this is the truth of God's Word and what He says to us and about us. And so I'm not going to believe and embrace this lie anymore. And we capture these wrong thoughts. We're not going to go down that negative pathway anymore because it doesn't lead us to the abundant life that God has for us. See, the more that you travel God's truth, the more you're going to believe it. And the more He's going to renew your mind. And the more He's going to change your thinking. And the more He's going to enable you to walk by faith and not by sight, the more that He's going to empower you with the Spirit of the living God, the more His Word is going to direct your life, the more He's going to empower you to do all that He's calling you to do. See, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so we capture the wrong thoughts, and we teach it to be obedient to the Word of God. What's the number one lie that's been holding you hostage in this season of your life? And what's the one truth that's going to set you free?